Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Our scripture reading today comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. You can follow along in the Pew Bible if you would like. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives, have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there. Do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city, welfare you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for this is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Will Rogers once said, I never met a man I didn't like. Well, he'd never met Chuck. Chuck was a man you could really not like. Chuck was vicious, worked for a man named Richard. And Chuck would actually say that if it was necessary, he would walk over his grandmother to advance Richard's cause. Dan lived in the same town as Chuck. And Dan would come over to the business sometimes and would see Chuck and see Richard, and he just didn't like Chuck at all. Didn't find anything in Chuck that was very appealing whatsoever. He just thought Chuck was just mean and vicious. Then Chuck ran afoul of the law, began to do things on Richard's behalf that would sort of advance Richard's cause. And he got caught up in this whole conspiracy, and he was found guilty. He actually pled guilty to obstructing justice. And before he was going to go off to prison, he found God. And this is a man, as he was getting ready to, before he found God, this was a man who would say, I sort of endorse the idea of church. Religion is a good idea, just not in real large quantities. And he finds God. And a friend of Chuck's puts together a prayer group, a men's prayer group, before Chuck goes off to prison and help him to be able to endure this experience of prison. And the friend invites Dan to come along, invites Dan to be part of this prayer group, this Bible study group that's there. And Dan says, I don't like Chuck. I don't like Chuck. Why would I want to be part of this group? And the leader of the group says, that's because this is what God has called you to do. God has called you to model what it looks like to be Jesus in the world, and I want to invite you to come and be part of this group. And it changes Dan's understanding of what it is that he is called to do, to be a Christian. Later, Chuck's son would get in trouble, some marijuana issues. He would have some health issues. And Chuck felt like he needed to get out of jail, get out of prison, in order to be able to go with his son. And Dan was an expert in the law. He was a lawyer and knew it real well. And he said, you know, if an innocent person offers themselves to serve the sentence of someone who is guilty, they can do that. So I'd like to offer myself to serve out the remainder of Chuck's sentence. Serve out the remainder of Chuck's sentence. And the judge decides to let Chuck go. He'd served some of his time. He put out on parole, and he is able to go back out. And they would later ask again Dan why he would do this. And he would echo back that comment that the person putting the group together had said, this is what it looks like to model Jesus in the world. This is what it looks like to be able to say Jesus is in the world. The very embodiment of Jesus sometimes comes by our very actions, what it is that we do. And I was willing to do that. This Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. It's a Catholic celebration originally. They put it into the church year in the 1920s. And they did it in part because it's the last Sunday of the church year. That's where it is now. It's the last Sunday of the church year. And you might ask, well, why did they do that? If you think about the fact we sometimes preach in series, that actually what's going on is that this Sunday is the 52nd week of a year-long sermon series of trying to help us understand who Jesus is and what Jesus calls us to do and or be in the world. It's this opportunity for us to stop and pause and try to put a bow on the whole present that is Jesus and understand what Jesus calls us to do and how Jesus understands this creation of this thing called the basileia, the kingdom, the reign, R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N, reign of God. Next week, we're going to have some materials written by a friend of mine in Denver, and she uses kingdom, K-I-N, apostrophe D-O-M, which is this idea of this sisterhood, brotherhood of people that have come together in order to understand who Jesus and God is in this world. The important understanding, I think, for us in this reign of God, understanding what Jesus is for us, is to recognize that he's inviting us to come into the kingdom. Come into the kingdom and approach the kingdom in such a way that we realize that it's not some future pie-in-the-sky kind of reality. It's rather a reality in our own present time, our own present circumstance. It's this idea that you find in Luke 17, which is this idea of the fact that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is close. I would even argue that the kingdom of God is actually in you. You've heard me do this during baptisms. There's a piece of God inside of you that's in no one else. And you've heard me perhaps mention sometimes where I talk about the Quaker and the Quakers and George Fox and how it is that they have this idea of part of our responsibility of coming into this sacred place is trying to learn how to turn on this inner light, to reflect God's inner light back out into the world. That's what we're called to do. Make the world just a little bit better by our presence in it. Now, I want to come over to the Jeremiah passage here because I think it helps us with understanding of what it is that we're called to do to understand what Christ the King Sunday is all about. You're going to say, that's a jump, Dennis. How are you going to get from that Jeremiah passage that Mel just read to Christ the King Sunday? Trust me, I'm going to try to make it work, and let's see how it works for you. Forget to see if I actually pull this off. Maybe I should even ask you for a vote. Now, if I forget to tie back some of the knots, those who heard me at 9 o'clock, holler at me if I've forgotten something here. But not yet. Don't holler at me yet. Okay. I screwed it up at 9 o'clock. Can you believe that? I made a mistake at 9 o'clock. The Jeremiah is in conversation to some extent with what's going on of where the leadership of the community in Jerusalem has been taken. It was the Babylonian conquering model, that what they did when they would conquer a place, they would take the intelligentsia and the royalty and they would bring it to Babylon. Why? Because if you could watch the intelligentsia and the royalty, that's where the leadership was. And if we've got our eye on it in Babylon, then nothing can go wrong back in Judah. That was sort of their perception. And so the leadership has left Jerusalem and headed off. Now, Hananiah is another prophet. I might call to your attention, I don't think there are any books in the Bible called Hananiah. All right? Kathy nods her head, shakes her head. So there are no books in the Bible called Hananiah. And part of it is the fact that Hananiah is preaching a good news of endure this. Don't assimilate. Don't find any joy. Don't be fruitful where you are. This is going to be a short duration. You're only going to be there for a little while, so you don't need to be worried about the things of life, getting on with the things of life. And Jeremiah is saying here to the community that's in Babylon, not so fast. Not so fast. You need to slow down just a little bit and understand that you're going off to Babylon, and it's not going to be over right away. It's going to take 70 years for this to end. And I want you to go off in this exile. I want you to go in this exile, and where you're going to be, I want you to be fruitful. And Jeremiah is actually talking on behalf of God. Thus saith the Lord. The Lord has told Jeremiah to communicate this. So thus saith the Lord is, go to Babylon and be fruitful. Be joyful. Produce children. Take your children and have them get married. Here's a radical concept. Pray for the Babylonians. Make Babylon a better place than it was when you got there. Make it be better for that. And that God has not forgotten you. If you continue to look for God with all of your heart and with all of your intensity, you will find God. God is not tied to a geography. God is not locked in the building in the temple in Jerusalem. God will be there in Babylon, and seek God there in that place in exile. And make God's kingdom, make the reign of God just a little bit larger, a little bit better, a little bit more significant, because you have passed through that place. You could almost think of this in terms of go to Babylon and be fruitful. Be fruitful in where you are. And Jeremiah doesn't focus on this, but I think there's a subtext that's here, that's going on. And don't continue to link back to the nostalgia of this Jerusalem. Don't continue to link back to this, the way things were in Jerusalem. Oh, when we had the temple. Oh, when we had Solomon. Oh, when we had David. When all these things were going on for us, it was such a wonderful place. He was saying, don't fall down and worship the false god, the golden calf called nostalgia. Go to Babylon and be fruitful. Allow the kingdom to get just a little larger by your presence there. Learn how to turn on this inner light that you have there and experience God's love. Now, the connection I want to make to some extent here with this is that how do you go about doing that? How do you go about making the world a little bit better? And how do you go about taking yourself and not worshiping at this God called nostalgia? Well, part of it is that who Jeremiah is talking to. I'm from Georgia. And I know I don't sound like a Georgian all the time, but I sound like a Georgian sometimes. And people in Georgia, when they're talking to you, they have this wonderful colloquial expression called y'all. Y'all. Am I right, Grace? All right. Y'all. Now, people from Louisiana screw this up, okay? Because people from Louisiana are convinced that y'all is singular and all y'all is the real plural, all right? But where I was raised in Georgia, which is the center of the universe by definition, y'all is plural. And what Jeremiah, and often the pronouns in the Bible over and over again, but the plural, the pronouns that Jeremiah is using here in this particular passage are not you singular. They're you plural. They're y'all. Or if you're from Louisiana, they're all y'all. Okay? They're all y'all. And he's talking to the community that's there. So step one is to recognize that God talks to us in community. And the second thing is that God speaks to us at where we are. Where we are. Now, going back to this issue of nostalgia, we could sit here that the Israelites, the Jews could go off to Babylon, and they could sit there and wring their hands and go, oh, life was so good back in Jerusalem. And what is God saying? No, you are here. You are here because this is where you're supposed to be. While you're here, cultivate a relationship. Deepen your relationship. Pray for the Babylonians. I have a plan for you, and it will come to fruition. That's important for us to follow that. And what he hopes it will do is remember the elements of that song that the choir just sang from Chris Tomlin. We fall down. And how do we fall down? What do we do when we fall down? We take this crown off of our heads and place it at the feet of Jesus. That's part of by recognizing that Jesus is the kingdom. The kingdom starts with Jesus. Getting to the idea of taking our own self-indulgence, our own focus on ourselves. It's natural phenomenon. It's a natural phenomenon that everything you do, everything you see, everything you experience is filtered through your own senses, your own eyes, your own ears, everything about it. You are the center of your universe. It's very easy for you to get into that mode. And what Jeremiah is saying is y'all need to focus on who God is, and y'all need to, in the words of Chris Tomlin, take off your crowns and lay them at the feet of the Almighty. That's their bet for us to do. And that takes humility. That takes a lot of humility to do that. The golden calf that is me is a pretty hard golden calf to not worship at. It can be really challenging in our time, in our own day, and we can focus ourselves almost entirely on ourselves. And what is being said here in part is to focus on the idea of community. Y'all, all y'all. Now, how do I also know this? What's another reinforcing fact here for me on this? Is that the reading that if we were following a different reading series for today would be out of Matthew. It would be out of Matthew, and it'd be during Holy Week, and Jesus would be talking about the nature of the end times. He'd be talking about the end times, and he would be saying to the community there that when you get to the end, the Father Almighty, is going to separate out the nations of the world, plural, the nations, and he's going to focus on those that have cared for me and those that are and give for me. Those that have given me water, given me food, or not given me water and given me food. And the community's surprised. They say, I don't understand. When on earth did we care for you? And Jesus would say, when you did or did not care for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, that is how I know if you're part of the kingdom or not, this reign of God or not. Those that respond to my invitation to care for the least, they're part of my reign, they're part of my kingdom, they're part of my kingdom. Those who did not are not. Now, I want to come back and tie the bow back around Dan and Chuck and Richard. Okay, some of you probably know exactly who I'm talking about here, but Dan Quee was a congressman from Minnesota in the 1970s, and when he was invited to go participate in this prayer time with Chuck Colson, that he was invited into that, and when he was a congressman, when he said, I'll be willing to go to jail on behalf of Chuck Colson. Now, those of you that many of you probably know who Chuck Colson was. He died in 2012, and he went into that prison experience, and he came out changed. He came out altered. What did he do? He went to Babylon. He went to a Babylon kind of experience and came, and he nurtured. He went in there and found God again. He deepened his relationship with God. Just as Jeremiah is inviting the community here to go to Babylon and deepen their relationship. Find God where they are. Find joy. Be fruitful. And Chuck Colson went into prisons, went into that prison, came out changed. And what he did was he then went back to prisons over and over and over again for the rest of his life. dedicating his life to the proposition that people inside a prison are like the least of those that Jesus is talking about in that Matthew 25 section, where he invites us to go offer them water and go offer them bread, go offer them sustenance. Christ the King Sunday is a chance for us to stop and pause in this 52-week ongoing series that we talk about who Jesus is. And we should be able to stop and see, looking at the life that is Jesus, and know what we're called to do, know what we're called to be. It's part of it is getting out of this worship of self, getting part of the getting out of this worship, this golden calf of me being at the center of everything, and instead focusing on the idea of community, focusing on the idea of making the kingdom through community just a little bit larger by the actions of the community. Go to Babylon. Go to Utah. Go to wherever you're being sent. And while you're there in that place, don't sit there and focus on the nostalgia of Tennessee or Texas or Jerusalem. And instead, focus on how it is that you make this kingdom just a little bit larger. Don't let somebody come down and say to you that this is just going to be a short stay. Don't make the place better while you're there. It'll be over quickly. And you can come back to Jerusalem where you're going to be called in the world, and everything will be okay. It's a tough message. It's a tough message. It's hard for some of us to get past the idea of the fact that the past is so much better than the present we live in. I hear it. I hear it. I'm mindful of it. I used an illustration like this when I preached over at Community of Grace during Holy Week, and I talked about the false god that can be nostalgia. And I used an image about the size of the choir, and people came over and to tell me I had the wrong number of in the choir. The choir was really a different number than I had said. And Bruce McLaren writes a book called Adventures in Missing the Point. Okay? Adventures in Missing the Point. My point was not so much about the number as much as it was this looking back in nostalgia at an earlier time and seeing that as the promised land. Seeing that as getting ourselves locked in that as the promised land. Whether it's the size of the choir, whether it's attendance on a Sunday, whether it's our budget, whether it's the size of the youth group, none of those are things that happened in the past. And they can help inform us a little bit, but to lock ourselves in the idea of we need to be tomorrow like we were yesterday is worshiping that false god of nostalgia. And what Jeremiah is communicating is that go to Babylon. Go to Babylon and make Babylon a better place by you having been there. Put down roots. Live there. Change Babylon. Experience the joy of having children. Experience the joy of watching children get married. Experience the joy of being grandparents, while at the same time continuing to seek God in deep relationship. And if you seek God with all of your heart, you will surely find God. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, it is in humility that we come to you this morning and we offer to you our proclamation. Let us be able to get out of the way of the story and recognize that you are inviting us to show fruit where we are. Bless us in this endeavor. Let us be able to remember the kingdom is made larger by our individual and community efforts. And let us be able to do that as our task of being like you in the world. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.